Welcome to the Life Melbourne podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
So good. How's everyone doing today? Doing good. A nice wet Sunday. Winter's almost here. Everyone's feeling it. Friday looked good and then starting to come in. But a massive welcome. I know we've said it already, but to anyone who's fresh here today, maybe you came last weekend, is your first time in an environment like this, we just want to say it's our honour to have you here. And I can't echo enough what Pastor Craig and Nadia have just said, that this is a community. This is, the church isn't about just rocking up on a Sunday, attending for a service, but it's about, hey, we're a family here. And I love that, you know, they said the honour is ours to lead us, but the honour really is ours, that they lead us the way that we do. And come on, why don't we give them a hand for everything they give to us, how they love us and lead us. And, you know, I walked into this environment about 10 years ago, to be honest, pretty broken, pretty hopeless, really at a point in my life where I was like, am I still going to follow Jesus and the call of God on my life? And am I going to give him everything? And I came into this environment with a lot going on in my world. And the presence of God started to meet me throughout worship. People started to embrace me and love me and restore me. And I had real conversations with people who've led me to be healed, to be whole, and set me really on the path that I am now. So I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you come in and you go, you know what? I don't feel like I've got it all together. Guess what? You're in the best place you could be today. Maybe you feel like your world's falling apart. Well, there is a God that wants to put it back together. He's the God of restoration and healing. And I know today he's going to do something fresh in our lives. And if you're joining us online again, welcome. Today I'm going to be preaching a message called Why Jesus. And I think really when we talk about why Jesus, you go, mate, that might be quite simple, sounds simple. But I think the simplicity of the gospel we can never get enough of. We can never stop coming back to the main thing being the main thing, because the why really enables the what. And I think if we capture who he is, who Jesus is, and we know the why of Jesus, then we will live out the what, our purpose here on earth, that we will live our life with a purpose. We'll live our life under his commission. We'll live our life for others. And I know God's calling us this year to a year of, hey, come follow me. It's a year of discipleship, and for me, it's been that. It's been really personal for me going, hey, you just got to come back to refocusing. Refocusing, realigning. People are our priority. Every person matters. Coming back to what God says above what the world says. That really, we're coming back going, hey, I'm bringing a filter to my world and saying, God, I'm here. I'm surrendered. I want more of you. And I know we're going to be encouraged. Why don't we give the team a hand this morning? But we're starting off from a scripture this morning, Matthew chapter 10, verse 38 to 39. It's Jesus speaking, and he's speaking to his disciples. He's got his boys around him, his 12, his main crew, his guys that he's going, hey, for these 3 years, I'm pouring my life into you. And he basically says this whole speech, but at the end of the speech, he says these amazing words. He says, he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. But he who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. Let me read that again. He does not take up his cross and follow after me. He's not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it. But he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. Or other versions say, he who is trying to save his life himself will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake, who comes and brings his life and loses it, he will find eternal life. As I said, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's hanging out with these guys and he's really pouring his life into them. And in this moment, he sits them down and he goes, hey guys, actually, I want to give you all authority in my name to go out and to change the world. He goes, here's my instructions right now. You're going to go. I'm sending you on a mission. You're to go out. You're to heal the sick. You're to deliver those who are oppressed. You're to bring help and you're to bring hope. You're to bring good news. Who knows? This is the commission of the church in today, in the 21st century. He says, you're called to restore. But I love Jesus because Jesus isn't some salesperson that tells us all the good things but leaves a bad thing out. I don't know about you if you've ever tried to sell a car, but I have sold a few cars in my time. And because I've just, you know, as an 18-year-old, I was one of those hotheads that had to buy and sell a car every 3 months. But every time you go to sell it, you wash it, you make it look good, and you try to hide what's not good about it. And if you've got someone meticulous, they come up, hey, what was that scratch from? You're like, oh, yeah, my dog. Come up with it on the spot. But Jesus isn't that guy. He's not the guy that tells us all the good things but leaves out the bad things. In fact, he really just lays it out as it is sometimes. And he says, hey, you're called to change the world. You're called to bring help and hope. You're called to bring restoration to people, but it won't be an easy road. But there will be challenge. There will be many who oppose you, but take heart, I'm with you. There will be trials. There will be tribulations. There will be hard times. There will be persecution, but don't fear. Just have faith in me. He says even in this, sometimes my word's going to bring separation. Sometimes my word doesn't always bring peace. Because there's some people who will oppose it. But there's a reward and there's a purpose in our pain. And the truth is, in life, we're all going to go through hard times. But is there a reward on the other end of it? And Jesus promises that when we follow him, that yes, there will be hard times, but the reward is well worth it. That there is a purpose behind it all. So Father, today I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that this is a year of where you've said, come, follow me. And God, we just lay our hearts again before you and say, God, we're here. God, speak through me this morning. Speak to us and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but have you ever traveled to a hard destination or gone somewhere far or hard or a big, maybe it was a hike? Pastor Craig and Nadia went on a hike on Friday. There is a hiking crew here, which I got invited to on Facebook, but I think they kicked me out because I've never rocked up. Said I'd go every time, but hiking is just not my thing. But last year, me and Talia, my wife, and our little 9-month-old boy at the time, Tommy, set off on a big trip over to Europe. We did this 6-month trip. We actually had it planned 6 months. Everyone's like, man, what's this guy doing? 6 weeks, people. Six weeks was still long. And we had it planned before COVID, but we decided, you know what, we're still going to go. We're still going to head on this trip. And we get to London and we're like, all right, what are we going to do? And Talia does the whole itinerary. So I was quite busy up to it. So I'm like, I'll let my wife look after it and look after the directions of it. And so we get to London, we rock up, we're like, what better thing to do than go see the Queen while she was still here? And so we thought, all right, we'll go see the Queen. And so we set off on a massive hike, I'd call it, because it just seemed to go forever. And I didn't bring any running shoes or walking shoes or hiking shoes, whatever you call them. My feet were absolutely battered. But we walked to see the Queen and we're outside of Buckingham Palace and it was fantastic. She wasn't there. We saw the guards do a few, they shot some stuff and it was quite cool. And so we're hanging out, we're with Tommy, and Tali's like, all right, the next destination, we've got to go to this garden. I'm like, great, I love gardens, I love flowers. If you know me, I just love it. But we'll go to the garden with my wife. And so I go, which way are we going to go? She goes, we'll go this way, we'll go left. I go, sure? She goes, yeah, we'll go left. I go, okay. 5 hours later. Probably wasn't 5 hours, but 5 hours later, for the story, we've got to add a bit of theatrics. 5 hours later, I'm like, babe, are you sure we're going in the right direction? Because the Buckingham Palace, I don't know if you know, it's like 10 kilometers round trip. And so we get right round to the other side, and it was amazing. I looked to my right, and I saw the road that we could have went down if we went right, and it probably would have taken us about 5 minutes. And I'm like, babe, we've got to look at directions. But it's interesting when we don't follow directions in life, when we don't follow the map, the roadmap, that sometimes we're still going to go, both of them were going to be hard, but one took longer than the other. And it's the same with God. He has given us a set of directions for our life. He has given us a pathway in following Jesus, and we need to trust God's way, even when it's hard, even when it feels tough, even when no one's with us. He knows best. He has the best outcome for our future. He has the best destination for you if we follow him. And he is worth our follow. He is worth our follow. He is worth our yes. He is worth our everything. And today I want to look at a few points around why is he worth following, Jesus? Why is he worth following? Firstly, it's because of who he is. It's because of who he is. We have to have a fresh revelation. Or we have to have a focused revelation. Maybe you know this before and you're mature in your faith. We have to have a focused revelation of who Jesus is in our lives. I love Jesus. He's hanging with his disciples for quite a while. And in Matthew 16, he turns around and he says to his guys, he says, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" It's a great question that we should always ask ourselves. Who do we say that he is? And Peter, he pipes up, he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you this, Peter, I will build upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And I love this because Jesus poses the question to all of us, who do you say that I am? If we're going to say, hey, this is a year of we're going to follow Jesus, and maybe that's fresh for you, it's awesome. No matter where you're at in your journey, it's amazing. It's just step by step that we choose to follow Jesus, but we've got to have a revelation of who he is. Because many people just treat Jesus as their friend. Or many people just treat Jesus as someone who's going to make a better version of themselves. But he's not that. He's more than we could ever imagine. He is Lord. He is God. And the truth is, if he is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. Lord and King means that he is first place. And he's calling us to recognize himself as he truly is. I love Jesus. He rocked up, and as I said, he's not a salesperson that doesn't tell you certain things, but he rocks up into the world and he says, "Hey, I am the light of the world. Hey, I am the bread of life. Hey, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the one who makes a way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the true vine." He didn't claim to be anything less than God. And so he doesn't deserve anything less than our full surrender. He is worthy of it just for who he is. Just for who he is. Secondly, it's because of what he's done. It's because of what he's done. We are motivated to give him everything because of what he's done. I love Jesus because he's so different from every other God and every other religion. Every other God and every other religion paints God to be someone looking down with a measuring stick going, "Do you measure up? Are you good enough today? Do you have it all together?" But the difference between Jesus and every other God and every other religion is that God himself in Jesus put skin on and came and paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. He gave his life for us so there wouldn't be a measuring stick, so that he would grab us and measure us up. Romans 5 verse 8 says this, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. Whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Whilst I was still broken, God looked down and said, hey, here's mercy. Whilst you still were empty, God said, here's my grace. Here's my hope. Here's my life. Here's my redemption. In fact, I'm holding nothing back from you. I'm going to give you everything that I am. I'm going to pour my blessing out upon you. I'm going to pour my peace out upon you. I'm going to pour my love out upon you. I'm going to take what was broken and I'm going to turn it into a story. I'm going to take what was messed up. I'm going to turn it into a message." God takes our lives and he turns it into something beautiful. He brings us life. Life. He's broken the power of sin, the power of the grave, the power of death. These things that every human battles and every human fears, Jesus conquered every part of it and he places life on our lives. I love how Colossians puts it. Colossians 1 verse 13 says this, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and put us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. And the Son is the image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven, on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, powers, rulers, all things have been created through him and for him." And I love in verse 21, he says this, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." None of us have got it right, hey? But now he has reconciled you to Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. God's presented you to himself holy, perfect, without blemish. God's taken our sin, removed it, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so that we can stand before him, as I said before. Not that we're going, hey, God, do I measure up today? Am I good enough today? God, have I got it all together today? God, the past couple of years, you know what? I've been messed up, but God grabs our life. He says, you know what? I'm going to dip it in the blood of my son, Jesus, and I'm going to present you holy. I'm going to present you blameless. I'm going to present you forgiven. I'm going to present you clean. I'm going to present you alive. Come on, is anyone thankful for what Jesus has done for us? Maybe today you're going, how do I follow him? How do I follow him? How do I follow him? Well, first thing we've got to do, if we're going to follow Jesus, is we've got to build upon his word. Build on his word. Everyone say, build on his word. Matthew 7:24 says this, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, he may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And great was its fall. We're called to build upon the rock. I love it. Jesus has given us his word so that we can build upon something firm, so that we can build on something that is a strong foundation, so that we can build upon something, because as I said, life's going to come at us, trials will come at us, things are going to happen. And you know what? We've got to turn to God and go, you know what, God? We're going to be people who build our house upon the rock. But who do we build on in this day and age? Because culture's telling us to build on the sand. Culture's telling us, hey, the sand looks great. It looks beautiful to build on the sand. It doesn't look beautiful to build on Christ. It doesn't look good. It doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound loving. It doesn't, all these different reasons. Culture says, love yourself, put yourself first. I don't know if you've heard this, but as long as you're happy, that's all that matters. But Christ says, no, it's not about loving yourself. It's about dying to yourself. Yeah. Come on, you're not your own God, and you're not going to get it all right. Yeah. Like the story with the Buckingham Palace, you've got to put God's plan in action. Put others first. Sometimes your happiness isn't what's best for you, but holiness is what's best for you. It's choosing holiness over happiness at times. It's choosing when the world puts its pleasure before us that we're going to go to the Word of God. I love Romans 1 talks about how humanity has exchanged the image of God for the image of man, and we've just decided that we're going to design it ourselves. We're going to live life however we want, by our feelings, by our pleasures, by our desires. But God's calling us back, no, back to his design, back to the way he's intended things to be. Back to the way he's intended marriage to be. Back to the way he's intended love to be. Back to the way he's intended business to be. Back to, because there's a lot of corrupt businesses out there, but we're called to have integrity in that area as a church. Come on, back to the way he's called us to live as young people. That we're called to live with a fire in our hearts for Jesus. Not with a passion in our hearts for the things of this world. That God's calling us to live in his design. To not be in fear of the opinion of man, but to have fear for the opinion of God. To live for the approval of God. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says this, for the word of God is living and active, and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Come on, we're going to build on a revelation of God's word. Not a good idea, not what's comfortable, not an idea that makes sense to culture, but we're called to be conformed to the image of Christ. Amen? Amen? Secondly, we've got to take up our cross. The journey is not always easy, but it is worth it. My first couple of years of choosing to follow Jesus, they weren't easy. It meant that some of the friends that I had, that I couldn't, you know, hang out with them in certain environments anymore, because really it was bringing unhealthy things into my life. So sometimes it felt lonely, felt like it was a hard way. But I love that the words of Jesus bring us life. You know, wouldn't it be nice if instead of Jesus saying, take up your cross and follow me, he said, pick up your blanket and go have a nap. That'll be good for you. But Jesus doesn't always tell us what's comfortable. He tells us what brings us health, what brings healing to our lives. Matthew records this same account like this. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus says, anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And I love this part. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? And what shall a man give in return for his soul? Come on, eternity is in the balance. Eternity is in the balance. And the way of Jesus leads to life. And Jesus is not a hard taskmaster telling us, hey, measure up. Come on, get it all together. No, he's saying, hey, this is the way of life. Come on, when you pick up your cross, you deny yourself, you deny those things that are bringing death and you carry someone else. You know what? This is the way to life. But to enter into life, sometimes there are things that must die. Some things we have to put ourselves second. We have to put our desires second, our wants. There's things that don't align to God's word that we have to put second. But if we choose to take up our cross, there is a life that God has for us that we could never imagine. Luke 14:27 records it like this. Whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Cannot be my disciple. In a year of discipleship, if we're choosing discipleship, it's not optional. We got to go, hey, what's my cross? What do I need to die to? And I love that in Luke, it records that Jesus actually had a massive crowd before him. He had a huge crowd. Before, it was just his disciples. It was just his select crew. But he has a huge crowd before him, and he says this. And I love it because this is the invitation of Jesus, that this life I'm calling you to is not for an elite crew. It's not for the pastoral team at Life. It's not for those who put their hand up to leadership, but it's for every person that says, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus. And again, it doesn't mean you've got to measure it all up every single day, but what it means is, hey, I'm surrendered to Jesus. Hey, I'm choosing daily to say, God, what in my life needs to die so that I can live for your future? Sometimes it means no to self, no to safety, no to security, yes to God's will, yes to sacrifice, yes to self-denial. And the cross for me represents two things, that I've got to die to something and I've got to carry something. Come on, who are we carrying in our worlds? Who are we carrying in our worlds? Who do we have in our world that you're going, I'm going to carry that person to Jesus. I'm going to help them go forward in their life. I'm going to pray for them. Maybe it's a work colleague. Maybe it's someone in our family that doesn't yet know the grace of God. Maybe it's people here within our church family that we're going, you know what, in this season, I'm called to carry them. Come on, we're better together, amen? Because we're called to be carriers and not just consumers. And three, we've got to walk in the Holy Spirit. We've got to walk in the Holy Spirit. To walk is to live in step with. It's to be led. It means, you know what? He has my decisions. I ask him what he thinks about things. I look to him when I'm making calls for my family, for my business. Sorry, a few burps there. For the things that I'm going through in my world, I'm saying, Holy Spirit, would you lead me here? What do you have in mind about this? We've got to be people who are led, who walk in the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 says this, if the team can join me. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Don't you love that? The children of God. The Spirit you have received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again, but rather the Spirit you have received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. You know, Abba, back in that language, was like the deepest cry, loving cry that you could say towards a father. It was a cry, a heart's cry to your father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. We don't do it all in our own strength. Come on, we can never get caught in the trap that we got to start to work this all out, that we got to try harder, that we got to do better, that we got to start to measure up. It's not that one, we got saved and then we got to start working. It's that we've been saved and that we're being saved and one day we will be saved, and it's the same Spirit that saved us, the same Spirit that's saving us, and it's the same Spirit that will save us. So that in all of our lives, we're presenting ourselves to God day by day, saying, God, here I am. I'm a living sacrifice. Because God offers us the power and the strength and the might to do and walk out the call that he has for us, but it is by his Spirit. It is by his Spirit. Romans 8:26 continues to go on and it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. When we don't know what to pray for, The Spirit Himself, He intercedes for us through wordless groans, and He searches our hearts. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, someone say all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. The Spirit helps. The Holy Spirit, He's our helper. He's not far off. He's not hard to find. He's not trying to, you know, play tricks on us. He's not waiting to see if you get it right on a Monday morning, midday, to then help you. No, He's with you. But the question is, are we asking? Are we seeking His help? Are we going day by day going, you know what? As a father, I need His Spirit. As a husband, as a wife, I need His Spirit. As a businessman, as someone in the corporate world, maybe you're a tradie, a plumber, I need His Spirit. Come on, as a friend, I need His Spirit. Come on, in the call that God has for me, I need His Spirit. Come on, in whatever we're going through, maybe it's tough times in our families or whatever we're going through in this season, hey, we've got to go and say, Holy Spirit, help me. These have been the most profound words that I've ever found myself praying in my life is, Holy Spirit, can you help me in this situation? Can you bring about help? Can you bring me hope? Can you help me love others? Because when called to do this with Him, we're not called to live in isolation, and that's what relationship is. Relationship with God is us calling to Him, saying, God, you know what? I need you right now. Abba, Father, I'm here. I'm stuck. I feel empty. I feel like life's overwhelming me. And that's when the Holy Spirit comes and brings peace. He brings hope. He brings healing. Amen? Amen. Jesus is calling us for a fresh surrender to follow Him this year. Come on, who He is, what He's done, that we'd build on His Word, that we take up His cross, eh? But that we'd walk in His Spirit. But as we come to a close, something we do every Sunday, every part of our services, is we give people the opportunity to have a moment, an honest moment in their lives, to have a relationship with God, to say, God, you know what, here I am. Maybe for you, you came last week, or you've been coming a little while, or maybe it's your very first time here, and you go, this is the first time I'm hearing about a God who saves, and a God who helps, and a God who isn't angry and pointing down and there with a measuring stick, but a God who loves me, God who has a plan for me, a God who has a purpose for me. And that's the good news of the gospel, friends, is that God didn't look down at earth and go, you know what, humans need to get it all right before I come back. He stepped in 2,000 years ago, and this was the message that was proclaimed last week so beautifully and so clearly, is that God came and He put human skin on and He lived a perfect life and a sinless life and died upon a cross. The Bible says the weight of the sin of the whole wide world, even for those who reject Him, the weight of the sin of the whole wide world, that's how great His love was. That all my mistakes and all my mess and all my brokenness and everything that I've done to turn my life away from God, that God suffered the punishment for that, that He bridged the gap, that God goes, you know what, I'm going to take responsibility for my creation. I know they can't make it back to me. I know they never will. And that's the truth of the gospel, that no matter what we do, we can never measure up for God. But friends, He made the way so that we could measure up. By one thing, trusting in Him, by believing in what Jesus has done on the cross, believing that He rose from the dead, that He has triumphed death, sin, and the grave, that we can have hope and we can have life. So I'd love every single person today to bow your heads, to close your eyes, just to give every single person a moment of privacy, a moment of honesty. Maybe you're online today. I'd love you to do that too. And I'd love you to ask yourself this question. Am I right with God? Am I right with God? If you're not right with God, you're in the best place you could ever be. You're in the best place you could ever be. The truth is that God loves you and He has an incredible plan for your life. And that all you've got to do is lift up your hand just in a moment and say a simple prayer after me. And it's not lifting your hand or saying the prayer that makes you right with God, but it's your trust and your belief. And the Bible says the confession of your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that, you know what, I'm going to give my life to God and I'm going to give him a shot. I'm going to bring him my brokenness. I'm going to bring him my pain. I'm going to bring him everything, every part of who I am. God's not scared of any of our broken pieces, and he's not scared of our past. He's not scared of our darkness, and he's not scared of our mistakes. In fact, he's there as a father saying, would you hand over your life to me? Because I have an incredible plan for you. On the count of three, I'd love every single person that wants to make that decision today just to lift your hand high. One, he loves you. Two, he has an incredible plan for you.